203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
For the Jew there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We take the insert for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost and chant the intro.
Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, give praise unto him. us pray.
Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from Numbers chapter 11. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy. And if you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him, and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad, and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 104, starting with verse 27, ending with verse 35.
These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works.
Good on the earth.
I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well,
We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
End of the day, 8:48, you may be seated. Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word words of Jesus in the gospel lesson today cover many different facets of the Christian life. We will consider these teachings one at a time to see how they describe our lives as they are shaped by the Word of God. Jesus says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." Such words, coming from the one who loved us to the point of dying. Yet it is precisely because he is love that he says such a hard thing. So protective of is our Lord towards these little ones, as a mother would be toward her own, that in his divine wisdom and paternal care, he would see any man that would harm any of his own frightened and drowned in inky blackness at the bottom of the sea. Any who would scandalize children and those weak in the faith as for themselves the burning and all-consuming wrath of their Creator, who will be their vengeful judge. So grievous is this wound inflicted upon Christ to make someone think less of him or his bride, our mother, the church, that the Lord cannot condemn this too strongly. So strong is his love towards his children and those barely escaping the flames that he continues on with grim exhortation. "And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire." Jesus speaks the truth here. Truly, it would be better to be without hands, which are so prone to offend and scandalize, than to go to hell with both hands. He continues, "And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. Because so swift are our feet to carry us into all manner of transgressions, it would indeed be better to be lame. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out." Yeah, it is better to be blind and enter that most glorious of all kingdoms than to transgress against any of these, his little ones, both young and old. Yet, even if we mutilated every member of our body, gouged out our own eyes, cut off our own hands and feet, and tore out our own tongues, would anything change? No. Not a wretched thing would change. Not a dot, not an iota. The old Adam in us is murderous, covetous, greedy, selfish, lustful, hedonistic, and idolatrous. Rebellion flows out of the heart, to which the members of the body are always in service to. For indeed, from the heart flows the actions of a man, whether it be good or evil. We who cannot understand our own hearts with its confounding deceit and terminal sickness, who are not even aware that we do not understand. From whence does our help come? Since our hearts give birth to nothing right, who will rescue us from this body of death, from sin, and the hand of vengeance that comes for all sinners? Thanks be to Jesus Christ our Lord. Though his word is hard to hear, though his wrath is very real, his love is also real. He does not desire the wicked to perish. He does not desire that you should bear the consequence of your sinful behavior. That same love compelled him to become man and die for you. In holy baptism, the drowning of the old Adam takes place every single day. As we confess to the small catechism, what does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins
and evil desires. And that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. The Son of God, who from eternity knew the Father and took divine counsel with Him, determined from the beginning to do the unthinkable. The transcendent, unknowable, inconceivable Son, the Son of God, became imminent, at hand, knowable, by taking on the form of a slave. He garbed Himself in flesh, bone, and sinew, and became one of us. So desperate is our fallenness that the Lord of life Himself had to become man and take on human nature. His mere presence makes whole the things that are broken. Yes, His incarnation made well the human form. His baptism, which covered Him in our filth, covers us in His righteousness and holiness. His baptism communicated this healing to the rest of mankind, who are likewise baptized in the same waters that made Him become sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that in Him we might be made the righteousness of God. He took on our soiled robes in those blessed waters, and through those waters gave us His robes of brilliant white, righteous and blameless before the Father. While carrying in Himself the sin of us all, He willingly and uncomplainingly went forth to an instrument of torture and slow death. That sin that He carried was then skewered, scourged, and viciously pinned to a cursed tree. Behold, our Lord of self-sacrificing love, who loved wretches like us to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus canceled the legal debt that the law demanded, defeated our sin, broke the jaws of death, paraded His victory in hell, and caved in the head of the devil, stripping Him of all authority to accuse us, His saints. Then He confirmed our salvation in Himself through faith by demonstrating His outstanding victory over the enemies of mankind by rising from the dead and ascending to the right hand of the Father, taking the very seat He left in His compulsion of love towards us. Now sitting at the right hand of the Father, He reigns over us and in our hearts in love, mercy, justice, and peace. But despite such a glorious conqueror and redeemer, the sickness of our hearts remain this side of the grave. The old Adam, while we live in these perishing bodies, persists with its compulsive rebellion against the God that has only loved us. Now take heart, my dear saints. As the new man, you have been purchased by Jesus, who is the one who preserves you in His holiness and righteousness. As salt preserves food, so our Lord preserves us unto life everlasting. Despite the struggle, the pain, the suffering, and the loss you might experience in your life, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Keep the salt that is already within you by continually being in the Word, who is the salt. Daily read and meditate upon the Scriptures. Dwell in it. Ponder the heavenly things of which you read. Then come, as is your habit, to the church and listen to the preaching within her walls, for by preaching is the salt cast. Then finally, come to the altar to eat and to drink the body and blood of Jesus under the bread and wine, through which our hearts are salted and preserved. But not only is He the salt that preserves and sustains us, He daily salts us with fire. This divine flame consumes and cleanses, much like how mundane fire does. But do not consider this a judgment on the new creation within you. but rather the strangling of the old. This fire is nothing but the Holy Spirit. This fire, this Holy Spirit, burns away our unbelief, our darkness, our sins and death, and cleanses us daily, hourly, from our sins, and then inflames us with great desire to do our Heavenly Father's will. This fire, which He salts us with and strengthens us to restrain from acting on our heart's wicked desires, this fire empowers us to withstand suffering of all stripes, to withstand all temptations common to man. This fire that burns with a heavenly intensity within our bosom enables us to use our members, our hands, our feet, our eyes, and tongue in holy service to God and love toward Him and love towards our neighbors. Yes, with this fire which He salts us with, we are even able to love those who hate us, who persecute us, and say all sorts of wickedness against us. Such is the power that God has graciously bestowed through this fire, through this Holy Spirit. Therefore, if anyone among you is suffering, let us pray. Do not be lulled into a sense of impotency, for the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, for Jesus will raise him up, because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. As children of Christ, we have His righteousness covering us through faith. It is our prayers that are the prayer of a righteous person. You are not without recourse in Christ, who is mightier than all and above all. Pray for the ones who suffer around you, who languish in sickness and in want. Pray, and lend the hand that love bids you to give. And if you have committed sin, you will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed through the great sublime power of Christ's blood shed for you. These are the words of God, and it is an exhortation to not be prideful. Luther himself says, in regard to the correction of sins, and I quote, "When I reprove a person and he becomes angry with me, he shows that he is not a true Christian. For a Christian receives reproof meekly, even if the reproof is uncalled for. He is not greatly surprised that people should charge him with wrongdoing, knowing that no person who is still in his natural state can be expected to do good." As mentioned before, the old Adam is still alive, but is struggling for the supremacy over the members of your body to have them serve him. And when, invariably, he succeeds, confess your sin to the one you have wronged. For there is no fear of divine wrath for one in Christ Jesus, but only sorrow for the transgression and joy for the forgiveness. With this fire, we are free to confess. And, as St. James indicates, forgiveness will most assuredly be ours. Hear now the word of the Lord that is spoken to you who are salted with fire. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whatever you do to the least of these, the little ones, the weak of faith, you have done them to him who died for you. Your good deeds, wrought in love through faith in Christ, shall follow you all the way into the gates of heaven. So if anyone is cheerful, let him sing praise. Such response is only natural to the one who has been raised and set upon such a lofty and green pasture of unending grace, mercy, and undeserved love. And such praise do we sing in response to such a great and glorious Redeemer, who so thoroughly conquered our sin and our enemies, Satan and death. We cannot help but respond with songs of praise, of gladness, of thanksgiving. And such is our ancient liturgy. was the result of saints past who were, just as we are today, salted with the fire of the Spirit of God through word and sacrament. Thanks be to Christ who loved us to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
In prayer at the church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Remember, O Lord, your holy church. We thank you for the salt and the light of the Holy Spirit and his fire, that he watches and guards us and keeps us true in the Christian faith. Grant us peace and unity throughout the world, in parishes and congregations like ours, to proclaim in Christ Jesus the salt and the light of the world, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Remember our synod, our districts, our own congregation, pastors, teachers, deaconesses, all who serve in your church. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church, child care, campus ministry, and international ministry. Bless Pastor Tom Park, who serves your people in Taiwan, that we may be faithful in teaching people your word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Remember our president, our public servants, and all who serve in the armed forces of our country. Bless, protect, and uphold them. Be with Calvin, Eli, Courtney, Gabe, Mike, Emily, and Alex, and all who serve. We pray for peace in Israel, in Palestine, and the Ukraine, O Lord. Be with those who suffered from the hurricane disaster this past weekend. Surround them with your mercy and strength. And grant, Lord Jesus Christ, that we may walk in the ways of peace and justice, in kindness and love. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your mercy to Jane Hollingsworth, now that you've received her into heaven, and Elaine Messick, Suzanne Fink's mother. Now that you've received Elaine and Jane into heaven, comfort the Hollingsworth, the Fink, and Messick family with the salvation that is promised in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we cry out as you called us to pray for all who suffer. And in their time of need, we ask that you grant them healing. Be with Sue Eby, Jessica Brerin, Rick Stern, and Nancy Brasowski, Kirsten Meyer, Lisa Smith, Rob Myers, and Raleigh Hill, Mike Wente, Candy Darmody, John Deeby, all who are in need of healing and strength. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, in Christ Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you called us to our daily vocations with humble hearts to serve you with thanksgiving and the strength that you give us in our daily lives. This week, bless Pastor Matthew Moss, David Huntley, Valerie Huntley, Michelle Law, Richard Geisler, and Jackie Taptoe, Calix Taff, Daniel Jupe, and Peter Bruckner, Mike Stecker, Joni Eisenbrown, and Celia Huntley as they celebrate their baptism and birthday. Lord, in your mercy,
in our prayer.
God, you have ordained constitute the service of angels and men in a wonderful order. May your holy angels watch over us as we serve and worship you. Help and defend us here on earth as you bring us into the joys of heaven. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we gather the offerings, members and visitors fill the ritual friendship hat out at the end of the pew, pass to the folks sitting next to you and tear the sheet off and put it in the basket in the door as you leave. We gather the offerings. You may be seated. Page 208, Service of Sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Life everlasting.
Jesus Christ.
heart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in true faith and body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Page 211, the Nunc Dimittis, we stand to sing. Shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.